Minister for Children, Roderic O'Gorman, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us today. Now, we know that you issued a formal government apology in the Shannon last night to people who had their births registered illegally. We heard from Brian Webster on yesterday's programme, one of those individuals to whom you were apologising. And he told us that he only heard on Monday that this was happening. He was trying, when we spoke to him, to get to Dublin from Tipperary. He took time off work at short notice. He wasn't even formally invited initially. It was a government, not a state apology. It was issued by you, the minister, not the Taoiseach. And it was issued in the Shannon and not in the Dáil. And it just seemed to Brian and to others that the government and you as minister were treating them as second-class citizens. What do you say to that?
Well, look, I met with Brian, and I met with other people who've been subject to illegal birth registrations before and after the apology yesterday, and we discussed those issues that they've raised. So I made an apology yesterday on behalf of the government to people who have been impacted by illegal birth registrations, recognising the terrible impact that's had on them. I made it in the Shannon because I wanted to demonstrate that this apology wasn't just an apology in the abstract. It was being made as part of the Birth Information and Tracing Bill. And that's the bill that I've been working on for the last year and a half, and which I've engaged very extensively with the illegal birth registration group with. And I've always said that I believe that this bill is the mechanism to deal with the denial of rights that they have suffered, okay, denial of identity rights, but also with the very many legal issues that the fact that they're subject to illegal birth registration causes for them.
But what about the short notice? The fact that they were only told the day before, because your department told us yesterday that the apology was signalled 2 months ago, but not to the people who were directly impacted.
Yeah. No, look, I absolutely take the point on the short notice. The notice should have been longer, and I completely accept that. And I said as much to the group when I met them yesterday.
Why was the apology then in the Shannon and not in the Dáil? You've said it was as part of the progress of the bill through the Houses, but you understand how this is seen by some of these people who were affected. They feel as though they're being treated as lesser than other people who receive state apologies.
Well, look, as I said, the reason we did it in Shannon Éireann was because the Birth Information and Tracing Bill is starting its passage through that House. And again, I wanted to link the apology with the remedies that bill provides to those who are subject to illegal birth registrations. But again, the point you just stated there in terms of the sense that those who have been subject to illegal birth registrations have from it being done in the Shannon, that was raised with me when I met with some of the individuals after the apology last night. And look, I committed that I'd go and I'd speak to the Taoiseach in terms of ensuring that those who are subject to illegal birth registrations feel that they have parity of esteem in terms of the state's response to them compared to the state's response to those who were in maybe Magdalen laundries and those who were in mother and baby and county home institutions.
So are you saying then that you gave a commitment that you'll push for a state apology to be delivered by the Taoiseach in the Dáil?
Well, look, what I said to him is that I would engage with the Taoiseach on the concern that they had expressed to me in terms of ensuring that there was full recognition by the state of what they've endured, and that's what I'm going to do.
So you're saying that there hasn't been full recognition so far?
What I'm saying is I heard what they said about their concerns about it being done by me as opposed to it being done by the Taoiseach, and I've pledged to act on those concerns and engage with the Taoiseach on the issue. Look, we're very clear that there is a significant amount of work on the legal side has been done to address the issues faced by those who are subject to illegal birth registrations. Very, very significant elements of this bill will allow those who have been identified as being subject to illegal birth registrations, but also those who believe that they might be, and it gives them a mechanism to finally answer that question. But I'm also very aware that this goes beyond issues of pure legality. And having spoken with the individuals at length after the apology yesterday, and hearing that there were concerns about, I suppose, the perception of their treatment vis-a-vis other groups, I've said I will engage with the Taoiseach on that issue.
We know that the Special Rapporteur, Conor O'Mahony, who advised that this apology should happen, said that it should give comfort to the people who were affected. You see now, do you, that what happened last night did not give comfort to those people? Do you regret doing it in this way?
Well, look, I let the individuals, those who are subject to illegal birth registrations, I suppose, speak for themselves in terms of their perception of the apology yesterday. I certainly regret the fact that we didn't give the adequate amount of notice. That was unfair to those involved.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it gave them comfort?
Well, look, as I say, I spoke with, we were talking for about 2 hours after the apology last night. But look, you've spoken to some of them already, Claire. It's not for me to put words in anyone's mouths. I prefer they can speak for very, very, very well for themselves.
Well, look, apology aside, Brian also told us yesterday that he and others still have issues with the birth information and tracing bill. He can't understand why it doesn't use the language of illegal adoptions, even though you use that language. So will that be changed in the bill?
Yeah. Well, look, again, and we that was an issue that we spoke about last night. And look, I've always been very clear that these registrations were illegal, and in my language in the apology last night, but in all my engagements on this issue, I've spoken about the issue of illegality. We also have to recognise, though, that there are people who suspect that they were subject to illegal birth registrations, but don't have the proof of that yet. And we have designed this bill so that those individuals can use the provisions of this bill to get the information, to make that discovery, were they subject to an illegal birth registration or not. So it's not just being used by the group who have, I suppose, a demonstrated illegal birth registration, the St. Patrick's Guild group. The definitions of this bill are broad, and in order to ensure as many people can use that definition as possible, we've used that broad term, incorrect birth registration, so people can fall within the definition and so they can use the legislation. But as the bill went through the Dáil, this issue about the concern that maybe that some might perceive that as a watering down of the point on illegality. So we changed the definition to include the term false and misleading information in terms of that definition of incorrect birth registration, to recognise that many of these incorrect birth registrations come about as the result of false and misleading information being provided. And that change was made in the Dáil and now stands in the bill.
Is there any particular reason why you couldn't use the language illegal or incorrect or misleading?
Again, the concern is that if we use the term, and look, we've been back and forth with the council advising on this very extensively. The concern is that if you use that standard of illegality, that is a high standard to meet, and that means that the number of people who can use that particular provision to get information will be made.
But if you use illegal or incorrect or misleading, that's the broadest definition, surely.
Yeah, well, again, in terms of our engagements with the legal counsel, there is a concern that the use of that phraseology in that particular section could diminish the number of people who could use the really important provisions in the legislation that will actually allow people to discover information. And that is essentially what the Birth Information and Tracing Bill is trying to achieve.
All right. I want to move on now and discuss with you the controversy over the National Maternity Hospital. Your Green Party colleague, TD Nasa Harrigan, has suggested that this phrase, clinically appropriate, which is used in the legal agreement we know in relation to what procedures will be allowed at the new hospital, that should be clarified. As a law lecturer, do you agree with her?
Well, look, I think we have had the opportunity over the last 2 weeks to look in real detail at all elements of this agreement. And I know Minister Donnelly will be in the Joint Oireachtas Committee later on this morning, and he'll have the opportunity to provide clarification, a further clarification on issues. And look, I know that that term is a subject of concern to some people, and I've no doubt that Minister O'Donnelly will speak to it in detail, and I believe will provide the reassurance that that is about ensuring that the new National Maternity Hospital will act and will conduct the appropriate procedures within the new hospital.
Does the term concern you?
In terms of, I've had the opportunity to speak with both the master of the National Maternity Hospital, but also with the legal team around the new hospital, and in terms of their discussion of what it means, and in terms of how it's understood within the scope of wider medical law, I can see how it's being used. So it's not a term that provides particular concern to me. But look, I recognise that an issue of this importance, at the issue of women's health, there are individuals for whom that phrase is a concern. And that's why I think it's really important that in the context of the Joint Oireachtas Committee, that there is that opportunity to clarify it further.
Why did you feel the need to speak to the master of the hospital and the legal team who are working with the new hospital?
Because I wanted to go through in detail the various issues that have been raised over the last number of months. It's a very significant decision that the government is taking in terms of ensuring that we can have a modern hospital that provides key medical procedures for women and for babies. And I wanted to, you know, ensure that when this decision comes back to Cabinet next week, that I can make the best informed decision.
And do you think it should come back to Cabinet next week, or is more time needed now?
Well, look, I think today and tomorrow, in terms of the engagement of the Joint Oireachtas Committee, are crucial. But I think that the fact that the documentation has been publicly available for the last 10 days, that people have the opportunity to scrutinise, to raise issues, and that, you know, that those issues have been addressed,
yeah,
I think has been hugely beneficial.
Just given that you've done your own work on this and you've looked at the issues clearly in a very detailed way, do you have any sense of unease now when you hear the concerns of Professor Deirdre Madden and Dr. Sarah McLaughlin, who are on the board of the HSE, and they believe there should be absolute clarity on the separation of church and state, notwithstanding the transfer of shares from the Religious Sisters of Charity to St. Vincent's?
Well, look, I listen very carefully to all concerns that are raised, and it's good that we have this opportunity now and hear them publicly and let those concerns be teased out. But from what I've seen, the new National Maternity Hospital will be an entirely secular organisation. The St. Vincent's Holding Group is now an entirely secular organisation with the departure of the shareholding of the Religious Sisters of Charity. So from what I can see, I can't see where there is that opportunity within the new National Maternity Hospital for a risk of religious involvement in terms of, mm-hmm, of decision making. I just can't see where that route exists.
Okay, well, Professor Madden and Dr. McLaughlin also said in their letter that the St. Vincent's Holding Group argument that they must retain ownership for the delivery of integrated patient care, that runs contrary to the argument that the location of the underlying freehold ownership has no bearing on the governance of the hospital. It can't be both. So essentially, the HSE board members are saying they don't accept the logic given for the land not to be transferred to the state. Are they wrong?
Well, look, I suppose those two board members have a view, and I think that the majority of the HSE board expressed a different view on that point. I think the key element in terms of the state ownership of this hospital, and I think that's really important to remember, the state will own the hospital. The land that the hospital is being built on is held in a leasehold, extremely long leasehold now. And, you know, throughout that process, I think the extension of that leasehold has been a really important and a really positive development, that it's now a 299-year leasehold, and a leasehold that's held, that's achieved on a 10 euro per year rent, mm-hmm. an incredibly low rent.
But ideally, surely you would say that the best solution would be for that land to be transferred into the ownership of the state. And do you say you accept the reasons why that can't happen?
Well, look, I think the St. Vincent's Hospital Group have made a clear argument why they do not want to transfer, why they want to keep a leasehold, but why they want to lease it to the state, but on this very long basis, where the state will have absolute certainty for a 300-year period in terms of the use of that site. And of course, remembering that the hospital itself, the hospital building, is owned by the state. Okay. And I think that gives us the opportunity to do what everyone recognises we need to do, which is move out of the existing Hollis Street site, where the standard of care provided to women and children, the standard of care is fantastic, but the facilities are far, far inferior to what Irish women and Irish babies deserve.
I just want to ask you about the situation facing refugees who are here from Ukraine. Are you comfortable with the fact that some people who had settled in a certain area, perhaps even had children we know who started in a new school, they're being moved at very short notice? We heard from Emer Power, who was speaking to the Irish Times, and she compared this to cattle that can be moved around without notice or consideration. She's a volunteer working with these people. I mean, one group, they were given just 15 hours to pack up and leave.
Well, look, I know it's really difficult for families who have who've put down roots when we need to move them to alternative accommodation. As you know, when particularly in I suppose March of this year, when very large numbers of Ukrainians were arriving in the country, we had to secure accommodation wherever we could, and we did that. We wanted to provide people with shelter and safety, but some of the arrangements were of a really, really short-term nature. And those arrangements can't all be maintained. So that's why, and you know, this is something that will have to continue in certain circumstances, that people will have to be moved to more suitable, more medium-term accommodation. We'll work with, you know, with the community fora and with Ukrainian groups to make that as easy as much as possible. But look, I was meeting in Kildare during the week. My colleague Senator Vincent P. Martin organised a meeting with Ukrainians and community groups supporting them in Kildare, and the Ukrainian ambassador was there as well. And look, we discussed that, and you know, I've tried to be as upfront as possible that our response is, you know, to an emergency that none of us predicted is not going to be perfect at all stages, but we will always endeavour to ensure that people have security, have shelter, and we will work to ensure that those kind of key wraparound services and availability of education, of healthcare, is provided as well.
And do you have child protection concerns in relation to those who have arrived here? Because Tusla told us that one teenager has gone missing, but there are unaccompanied minors, aren't there, arriving here every week? Are we managing to keep tabs on them and ensuring that they don't get lost in the system?
Yeah, Tusla have a presence at the Welcome Centre in City West, and Tusla would work very closely with the Department of Justice in the airport and in other locations. A significant number of unaccompanied minors have arrived since the crisis in Ukraine began. The majority of those have subsequently been linked back in with family members here in Ireland, but Tusla is very aware of the need for vigilance here. A wartime situation is a time where young people are particularly vulnerable, and we know there are unscrupulous people there willing to take advantage of that fact.
And of course there are well-meaning Irish volunteers bringing Ukrainians in, and they may not be part of the official scheme. They may not be turning up at the welcome centres. Could those refugees be at risk in any way? And would you ask those Irish volunteers not to operate a system outside of the official one?
Well, look, I'd ask anyone who, and look, you know, we've seen this huge outpouring of solidarity and people want to do something, people want to help. But I think when anyone is bringing Ukrainians to this country, it is really important that they link them in with state services, with the Department of Justice, so they can get their temporary protection directive letter, with my own department in terms of potential accommodation or childcare issues, and of course with the Department of Social Protection. And I think it's really important that, particularly if significant numbers are coming into the country, that the relevant statutory agencies are notified early and in advance of that.
Minister, thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.